I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, he's intentional, never failing. All things
are working for my good.
'Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
Intentional. He's intentional.
He's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working.
All things are working.
Hey,
for
I said that all things are working for my good. Yes, they are. Yeah. All things are working for my good.
All things are working for my good.
All things are working for my good.
Praise God and welcome to Eve's Corner. Thank you so much for joining. I am Prophetess Campbell. I thank God for your being here, especially to our faithful listeners. We definitely do appreciate you. Our topic for today is stumbling blocks and stepping stones. Know the difference. One of the things for sure, you know, as we all go through life and God is preparing us for our destiny and we're on that road for destiny, sometimes we come across some stumbling blocks. So those are some of the things that we're going to discuss today. Some of those stumbling blocks and then, you know, what a stepping stone is and how we get to that. And then quite frankly, recognizing the difference. I think that sometimes as Christians, we would like to believe that everybody is in our corner, but you know, truthfully, that's just not the case. So we need to know that those things that are working for us, you know, those are definitely some stepping stones and things that are helping us in the right direction, getting toward our destiny. And then those things, you know, that are working against us, you know, can and are most often stumbling blocks, things that are getting in your way and trying to hinder you. So the scripture that we're going to be talking about on today is going to be Matthew. We're going to start at Matthew, the 16th chapter. For those of you who have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And we're going to prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. I know that sometimes we have some issues using technology. And I know that today for me, there's been an issue with utilizing Bible Gateway for some of you who utilize technology for Bible purposes. So just as a reference, you know, you can also go to Bible Hub or simply Google the scriptures. I don't know if many of you have the Bible Gateway app. Is very user friendly, but like I said today, much of the time it's been down. So go ahead and you know, in case that website is down, just utilize Bible Hub or pull out your old trusty. Pick up that big family Bible that you have sitting under the coffee table, wherever you have it. You know, it works just the same. Dust it off, and you know, sometimes we have to refer back. Instead of utilizing technology all the time and, you know, utilize that old trusty. So I'll give you a moment to go ahead and grab that and turn over to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. And we're going to begin around the 19th verse. But first, let us go ahead for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us, God, and keeping us. And we thank you, God, because you have already prepared our destiny in advance. We thank you, God, that you are preparing us to work toward that destiny. And we thank you now, God, for sending your word unto us to show us how to get there and to show us what we need to do to get there. And God, then to show us those things that may be hindering us from getting to the place that you have already preordained for us, as the word says in Jeremiah 29 and 11. We know, God, that the plan that you have for us is one of success. And God, that's where we want to be. We want to be successful in you according to your word. Now, God, bless every listener. God, bless collectively and individually. God, for those who may be sick and afflicted on today, God, touch their bodies. Your word says, God, that we are healed according to the stripes that Jesus has already bore for us. We thank you now, God, for those who are listening who might just not be at peace on today, God. Your word said that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, God. So we thank you now, God, for causing us to be at peace. I speak peace unto the lives of our listeners right now, God. And God, I pray now that your word come forth with clarity and understanding. Bless every listener, God, to be able to receive the word and let it fall on good ground. Thereby we may grow. In the name of Jesus, we ask these blessings and we thank you in faith in advance. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, as I stated, go with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we're going to talk about stumbling blocks and stepping stones and knowing the difference. So beginning at the 16th verse, I'm sorry, 16th chapter and the 19th verse. Now, if I was in the pulpit right now, I would say, if you have it, say amen. But since I can't hear you all, and you can definitely hear me, I'll begin where Jesus is talking to his disciples. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Now we pray that God add a blessing to the listeners on today in this word. I want to try to take my time and just kind of go slow with this, because I definitely want to make sure that you're able to understand this word with clarity and understanding. So looking at this scripture, Jesus' disciples had come to the realization that he is the Messiah that had been prophesied long before he was actually born. And the prophets of old had talked about him in the Old Testament. So here we are in the book of Matthew. The disciples are realizing, okay, so this is the prophet. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior that we have been hearing about in the Old Testament. And Jesus lets them know, you know, let me tell you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, you know, binding and loosing. So, you know, of course, you know, they're paying close attention, but he goes ahead and tells them, now don't tell everybody that I'm the Messiah. But from that time on, as Jesus was going about teaching and preaching and healing, you know, he also wanted them to know that there is going to come a time that I'm going to have to leave you. My destiny, what God sent me here for, what the Father has already preordained for me, is that I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to go and be crucified. But rest assured, because I'm going to get back up in 3 days, because I am the Savior. And Peter didn't like that. Peter's like, wait a minute now, no, Lord, no, this ain't fixing to happen to you. And, you know, that's how some of us do. You know, we may be in the spirit one minute and in the flesh the next, you know, kind of like Peter. He was a little wishy-washy from time to time. But Peter loved Jesus, obviously. And he was like, no, Lord, that can't happen. But Jesus let him know very quickly. And he said, get behind me, Satan, because only Satan or demonic influence or flesh, or somebody whose mind is not on the things of God, would try to hinder what it is that God has already planned for you. That means that this person is not concerned about the things of God. And so he let him know, now that you're under demonic influence, because that's what I came here to do. So I want to let you all know today that anybody who hinders what it is that God has sent you here to do, anything or anybody who's trying to hinder you from your destiny, whether it's directly or indirectly, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, whether it's a fleshly or human selfish concern like Peter had, because he was just thinking selfishly. This person is not concerned about the will of God for your life. And anybody who's setting a trap for you or trying to hinder you from doing what God has called you to do is a stumbling block, according to what Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, versus a person who is trying to be a stepping stone or help you to get to where you're supposed to be, a person who would be more of a stepping stone or a person who would be trying to help you is somebody that's helping you to progress, somebody that's helping your advancement. It's an event or an experience that helps you to achieve something new. So these people can be your accountability partners. This person is going to be the one who tells you, no, girl, don't let that man come over to your house. Or no, my brother, stop chasing these skirts. Stop chasing big legs and ask God for your wife. Because sometimes we start to look at the wrong thing. So sometimes we need some people in our lives who are trying to help us to go in the right direction instead of trying to hinder us from what it is that God has called us to do. Now, if it happened to Jesus, you know it can happen to you. So these are the things that we're going to talk about today. So if you want to chat, call in and give your testimony, provide some feedback or some input, that number is 888-627-6008. Call me again at 888-627-6008. Because we want to know and recognize what these stumbling blocks are. We have to get over and around these things. So now, mind you, the people that we want in our lives are those who act as stepping stones. These are the people, again, who want God's best for you. These are the people that are praying for you for real. When you say, you know, I need somebody to just be praying with me about this house. I need somebody to be praying with me about this car. Not the person that's going to say they're praying with you, and then when you get it, they're mad at you and looking at you like, oh, you got a new car. Oh, okay. Well, can you afford that? Yeah, that's not a person who really was praying for you and really on your team. That's a person who really is jealous in the first place and didn't want you to have it. You don't want to deal with the folks who are jealous. You want to deal with the folks who are going somewhere too and want to bring you along, or you help each other to come along or get through life's trials and temptations or just kind of be there for each other. These are the types of people that you want in your life. You don't want to deal with those people who want you to stay at the bottom with them because they're at the bottom of the totem pole. So you should stay there with them so they feel better. No, no, these are not the people who are on your team. You don't want the people who are laughing when you're down and saying, I told you so. No, but you want the people who are helping you to get to the finish line. These are the types of people that we need to recognize on today. Now, why do we need to know the difference? Well, again, according to Jeremiah 29:11, we talk about this scripture often. God has a divine destiny already planned for you. And if you were to look over at Ephesians 2:10, and I'll give you a moment to turn there, but I'm going to go ahead and paraphrase it. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says that we are God's handiwork. We're God's masterpiece. We're God's workmanship. We were created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So, of course, God wants us to succeed. So anybody else who wants you to succeed should be somebody who's on your team. Anybody else who recognizes how important you are to God is somebody who you want on your team. Anybody who recognizes, hey, you know, look, God has got some good things already prepared for you. My sister, my brother, I'm going to help you to get there. My sister, my brother, don't go that way. Don't go down that wrong path. Don't go down that easy path. Sometimes the easy path is not the one that God will have us to be on, because you may not learn anything along the way, along that path. But because God has already preordained success for you, you want some people around you. You want your friends, your partners, you know, the people that you may hang out with. You know, you don't have to, quote unquote, hang. And I don't want anybody to get caught up on that word. You don't have to, quote unquote, hang with people necessarily. But the people that you deal with, the people that you talk to on a regular basis, the people that you go to for counsel, it should be godly counsel. It should be people who want God's absolute best for you. And that's one of the things that sometimes young people don't recognize, especially as it pertains to their parents. Your parents really want God's best for you. We don't tell you, you know, not to hang out with those friends who are out there on the street corner smoking and drinking just because, you know, we want you to stand out from the rest of the kids and be different. No, actually, we want you to be different, but we don't want you out there with them doing the wrong things. We want you doing the good things. So if you're going to stand out for something good. Don't stand out because you're out there on the block with everybody else and thinking, man, my mom and my dad don't want me to do anything. Man, my parents are strict. They won't let me do anything. Well, there's a reason for that. Anybody who is helping you to get to your destiny, again, is on your team. Before you were born, it was already planned, and God has not changed his mind about you. You are not here by happenstance. You are not a mistake. And anybody who claims to care about you doesn't want you to fall apart. They don't want you to fail. They want you to do well, and they want you to follow that exact plan that God has for you. Anybody who doesn't, again, like Peter, they're in their flesh. They're being selfish, and they can be a stumbling block. Because, see, it's very simple for me. Either you're with me or you're against me. But like Peter, you know, folks can be wishy-washy. They'll be with you today and not tomorrow. No, you're doing good today. I don't feel like talking to you. I know that it happens. We realize it happens, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we kind of falter because we get thrown off track by the people that we thought were with us. Well, you know, there is an old saying, a lot of times you knew it was a snake when it bit you. You knew what you were dealing with, but you overlooked it. You ignored some red flags. So we need to get back to where God wants us to be. We need to get back on track. You may have messed up. We all do. But it's up to you to know the difference and then not fall back into that. Handle them accordingly. Or like your grandmother told you, handle them with a long-handled spoon. They don't have to be all over your house. They don't have to be the person that you talk to on a regular basis. Get away from those people who don't want God's best for you. You can still do like Jesus and be a witness to them and be a light to them. But when you see that they're starting to taint you and cause you to go the wrong direction, oh no, you need to get away from them because that person may be a stumbling block for you. In Matthew 18 and 8, the Bible talks about those who willfully try to lead others to sin. Now that alone, that speaks for itself. That's very clear. Anybody who's trying to bring the sin to you and sit it in your lap, clearly, that person's a stumbling block. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, the Bible talks about people who are influencing you or empowering you to sin. Now, it's very clear in the book of 1 Corinthians, you don't have to be misled. Bad company does corrupt good manners. That one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel. That one person on the job, in the group, who's doing crazy things or bad things or you know, sneaking and doing things that they're not supposed to do. If you keep hanging out with them, even if you're not doing it, it may give the appearance of evil. And we don't want that either. So don't fool yourself. The Bible says don't be misled. Those people with bad character, stop making excuses for their behavior. You're going to have to get away from them. And then you can't turn around and blame them. If you fall into sin, is it your fault? Absolutely. Because the Bible says in Romans 14 and 12 that each of us will have to give an account for ourselves. So you can't then turn around and be like, God, you know, like Adam and Eve, Adam blaming the woman, Eve blaming the serpent. No, God gave you specific instructions as to what to do and what not to do. So you can't act like you're surprised. You can't act like you didn't know. You can't act like the sin just snuck up on you. Oops. It was a mistake. No, you planned it. You planned the sin. You planned the time. You planned the date. You booked the hotel room. All of the above. It wasn't an accident. And you have to give account for that. So don't just sit back and say, well, you know, if that person hadn't, we can't just blame them. But you have to be smart enough to know, I got to get away from Jim Bob because Jim Bob is going to make me fall short. No, I got to get away from Susie Homemaker because she's not my wife and I can't be messing with her. Don't be like them trying to make excuses because you do have choices and we have to be responsible enough as Christians to accept the fact, okay, I made this choice. Now don't go back and do it again, just accepting it. But you do have a choice. So don't give that person that much credit and be like, oh, the devil made me do it. You know, yeah, he very often is the influence, but you had an opportunity. You sat there and thought about it. Should I go? Should I not? Should I do it? You made that choice. And as the old people say sometimes, you know, you made your bed, now you're going to have to lay in it. The best thing to do is to know in advance Lord, I don't want to fall. Lord, help me to recognize these people in my life who are not really for me. Lord, help me to recognize these people who may be in my life who are not here to help me, but here to hinder me. It's just like in school, you know, you have those friends that are sitting in class and not listening and not doing their homework and all those things. I was a kid that might walk home and not say anything, but knew when I get there, I was still going to be doing my homework and turning in my papers. That was me. Because, you know, you have that group of friends that might not be doing their homework. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. Don't think, well, just because they did it. So if they jump off a bridge, and I'm sure you know the rest, you're going to jump too. Praise God. Recognize your stumbling blocks. Know that you have choices. And make it your business not to fall into them. So call me and give me some feedback. 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. So we have to realize that there are some pitfalls to our destiny. And it's not, you know, just the individuals. But there are certain things that we fall into, again, that can be stumbling blocks for us. One of them is definitely disobedience. You know, like we talked about Adam and Eve. You know, if God told you, do not do this or do this, then that's exactly what you should be doing. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. And being disobedient to God is something that can truly hinder you and become a pitfall to you getting to your destiny. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to have what God wants me to have. I want to do the things that God wants me to do. That's where my success is. My success is not about houses and cars, but it's about being obedient to the will of God. Because guess what? When you do those things, you still get to have the stuff that comes along with it, because God says that you can have the desires of your heart. So don't be disobedient. It's not even worth it. The other thing that can hinder us or be a pitfall to our destiny is covetousness. Now, I know that's a really long word. It's a $2 word, but covetousness is basically wanting what somebody else has. I don't have time to be watching and paying attention to what Jim Bob down the street has. I need to pay attention to what God has for me. And if you spend too much time looking at what Jim Bob has, you begin to say, well, Lord, how come I can't sing like Jim Bob? I want to sing too. Well, maybe God meant for you to play an instrument. Maybe he didn't mean for you to sing. He already has a plan for how he wants to utilize you in his kingdom. But if you spend so much time watching Jim Bob, and if you decide you're going to sing and singing is not your gift, you're out of the will of God, you could have been using that time to enhance your music ministry. Or you could have been using that time to do whatever it is that God called you to do. Make things with your hands. Everybody's not called to sing. Now, when you get to heaven, you know, singing in glory, that's totally different. God is going to make it sound good because everything in heaven is good. But while you're down here, if that's not what he called you to do, let that go. Stop trying to be a 40-year-old rapper if that's not what God called you to do. You do whatever it is that God called you to do, and he will bless you in that. If he blessed you to sew, then sew your heart out. You can be sewing and making dresses and things for the sisters. You can become a professional tailor and be selling suits for $500 and $600. Made just for one individual, and people will pay for that because that's what God anointed you and called you to do. God will bless your business, but you have to be doing what it is that he called you to do. Don't get thrown off by being envious of what somebody else is doing and trying to do what they're doing. You do what God said for you to do, and he will certainly bless it. Now, the other thing is something that we don't always think about, but another pitfall for us getting to our destiny is doing what Moses did. Being angry and using the wrong words. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Moses went off. The people were not doing the things that they were supposed to do. And yes, he was their leader. And sometimes as a leader, it is very frustrating when you working your heart out, you know, for you preachers and pastors that's listening, you working your heart out and you're trying to get people to where they need to be. And they hard-headed. They don't want to listen. They want to do it their way. You got to come back again. You need prayer again for the same thing over and over and over again. You keep doing the same exact thing and you keep calling me at 2-3 in the morning to pray for you. Oh, God forbid. It is frustrating as a leader to have to deal with that. or you mess up and I have to come and bail you out over and over and over again. Why do you keep doing the same things? It is frustrating for a leader. But the mistake that Moses made is that he let his anger and going off or using the wrong words, or, you know, how some of us, you know, like Peter, cussing Christians, want to go off on folks. But the Bible says in Psalm number 106, verses 32 and 33, that because Moses got mad and went off on the people because they didn't obey, they began to intermingle with other nations. And those nations were ungodly. But it cost him his opportunity to go into the promised land. Just seeing it is not enough for me. I want to actually go and be where God has called me to be. It's important for me to be where God has called me to be. I don't want to just see it. I don't want to just know about it and hear about it from everybody else. You know, it's kind of like missing church on Sundays. Ooh, you missed it. We had a high time in the Lord. And you're like, man. So you got to imagine what it was like. No, that's not what I want. I want to be where God has called me to be. I want to be doing the things he's called me to be. That's where your peace is. That's where your real joy comes from. Being in the will of God. Now, the other thing that the Bible says can hinder us and be a pitfall to our destiny is adultery. Remember the story about Joseph? Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. This woman was trying to be with Joseph. She looked at Joseph and this hardworking man, you know, I'm sure he had, you know, the muscles going on, you know, and she probably looking like, wow, this young buck walking around here on my property. I think I need to see me some Joseph. Now, y'all know I'm paraphrasing, but I need to make this clear. It may be a whole lot of people looking at you and wanting you and trying to get with you in a whole lot of different ways. But believe me, the truth is that it's not worth it. It's not worth it because Joseph knew that God already had shown him something different. God already had shown him his destiny. God already had shown him and made a promise to him. It wasn't his time, but in order to get to where God wanted him to be, he couldn't be messing with this man's wife. So Joseph ran from her. Now, you know the story. She still ended up lying on him and pretending that he did do something to her because he was trying so hard to get away from her. He ran up out of his clothes trying to get away. Is that fair? No, maybe not. But it put him in the direction that he needed to be to get to his destiny. And that's what's most important. Sometimes we may be in some tough situations. Sometimes we may have some things going on. And it's like, God, like, it just does not seem fair. But when you know the end, when you know the final result, when you know that God has a promise for you, you can be all right. It may seem tough right now. It may seem like you're going through right now, but because God keeps his promises, just like Joseph, you got to do what you have to do to avoid those pitfalls. Even if you got to take off running sometimes, like, oh no, brother, I cannot talk to you. I already know what you're talking about. Oh no, sister, I can't come over your house and pray with you because I already know you ain't really thinking about prayer. We have to stop and think about those pitfalls because it's very easy. It's very easy to get off track. What else is it that can hinder us? Being unequally yoked. The Bible tells us to be not unequally yoked with non-believers. Think about it. When you're hooking up with the wrong destiny partner, you marrying somebody that God has not even called you to be married to, they're trying to go one direction, you're trying to go another. They're not saved, they're thinking about money. You're saved, you're thinking about where God has called you to be. No, usually it does not work. And the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? You cannot connect yourself with the wrong person. Even in business, you cannot connect yourself with the wrong person and expect God to bless your mess. We have to seek God about everything. It's very important to know who it is that God wants us to do business with, know what company God wants us to work for. Because again, he knows the end from the beginning. And it may seem at first like everything about this person is exactly what you want. But asking God for his will is most important. God, is it your will that I marry this woman? God, is it your will that I marry this man? Is this my destiny partner? Did you ordain for us to be together? Is this in your plan for us to have a future together. What is it that you want for my life, God? Because this person needs to be going in the same direction. And it is something that can cause a pitfall. Because now you're trying to please your mate, and it's not even what God called you to do. You opening up a janitorial service when God told you to come over here and open up a daycare. Come on now. You opening up some type of mechanic shop, and God told you you're supposed to be over here preaching to his people. Come on. We can't do that. We have to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. So we have to think about it when we get ready to hook up with these folks or marry these folks. Now, you got me doing things I have never done before. I'm out here acting strangely, dressing strangely, talking strangely, not even acting like myself, because I have hooked up with the wrong person. You better ask God who your destiny partner is supposed to be. Ask God to show them to you. Because you cannot hook up with the wrong person and expect to still be able to go in the same direction. At least not without struggle. Good gracious. It's a struggle trying to be with somebody and they're trying to do one thing and you're trying to do something else. Again, I don't know about you, but I want to be where God has called me to be. I want to be doing what he said for me to do. And the other thing we find in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 1-6. Another pitfall is, quite frankly, satanic influence. It was Satan that influenced Judas. Now, Judas had the choice to do or not do. But it was Satan that influenced Judas to betray Jesus. Don't let the Judases in your life throw you off track. Now, it was still in the will of the Father that Jesus go to the cross. But it was Satan, according to Luke, the 22nd chapter, that influenced him. You don't give up your Lord and Savior for some pieces of silver. And that's what some of us do. We get into jobs and dealing with people for a few little dollars, for a few little pieces of silver. People that we know we didn't even like in the first place. Jobs that we knew we weren't supposed to be at because we haven't had any peace since we got there. Going places and moving to places and living in houses that God didn't call for us to be in. Every aspect of your life, God has already preordained. And the last thing we want to do is give up our relationship with God just to walk with somebody else. They can't save you. They can't heal you. They can't deliver you. They are not worth it. That's the last thing we want to do is give up our relationship with God for money. The Bible lets us know the love of money is the root of all evil. No, the Bible doesn't say that we're not supposed to have money, but loving money is where evil begins. And you can see it. You can look at the lives of some other people that were out there just chasing a dollar, lost their families, no longer have a relationship with God because the money became more important to them. The job became their God. The job became more important to them. They were at the job more than they were at church. Let's not make any excuses. God is still first and foremost. So don't allow the influence of the enemy to cause you to walk away from your Savior, to cause you to stumble, to cause you to fall. Because remember, it's your destiny. They don't really care if you mess up. They don't really care if you fall. They just gonna look at you and shake their heads. Isn't that how they do? It's your destiny. So therefore, it's your choice to obey God. It's your choice to follow God's plan for you. You are here for a reason. You have a destiny to fulfill, and only you can complete it. According to Psalm number 139:16, the psalmist said, God saw you before you were born, and every single day of your life was recorded. Every moment was laid out in advance. God already had this plan before you got here. Don't be crazy enough to let somebody throw you off track. He already knows the end from the beginning. So a lot of things that God won't allow you to do, or a lot of doors that he closes, a lot of things that he says no to you about, it's because he knows the end. And because of the plan that he has for you, he doesn't want you to go that other direction and get off track. He already knows everything that's going to happen in your life. He already knew that you'd be listening in on this show today. But see, if we allow it, then pleasure, popularity, or again, money can make you miss your destiny if you are focused on the wrong things. Don't focus on what makes you feel good right now. You could end up doing anything based on what makes your flesh feel good, based on what's making you happy at the moment. Don't fall like that. Get these stumbling blocks out of your way. You're going to have to shut some doors and ask God to close them and keep them closed. Don't let these little pleasures of life, these momentary pleasures, or being popular. So you say and do anything because it makes you popular. That's not what we want for our lives. We have to choose between our will, which is our flesh, or our natural human selfish ways, and the will of God for our lives, because God's will is perfect. And no, you don't have to feel bad. It's never too late. You pray God's will, and he will then align you with his purpose for your life. Jesus gave us the model prayer in the book of Matthew. He prayed, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." He told us how to pray. And that prayer keeps us aligned with the will of God in our lives. Prayer is important, and praying the right things is important. Praying the will of God, praying the word of God, keeps us on track. So now you have to go back and ask yourself, what are some of the unique talents? What are some of the experiences that I have, whether it's personal experience or job experience? What is God giving to you that only you can do? Nobody does it like you. Because sometimes, you know, no matter what age we are, there are people that still don't really know what God's plan is for their lives. Stop and think about it. What are the things that you enjoy doing? What are the things that you just do with ease? What are the things that come natural for you? The fact is that that may be a part of something that God has already planned for you. But you ask God, "Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, what is it that you would have for me to do? Because I want to be obedient to you, and I want to continue to upbuild your kingdom. I want to walk upright before you. Lord, I want to be doing what it is that you call me to do so I don't get off track. I want to be successful according to your word. I want to be the best me that I can be." And sometimes we have to just stop and put our hands on our chest and say, "Lord, help me to be the best me that I can be." Because you all know, nobody can outdo you being you. So ask God, "Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing?" Sometimes people get out of college and they still don't really know what it is that they want to do with their lives. Sometimes people are 40, 50, 60 years old and still not sure if they were obeying the plan of God for their lives. Why not ask him? Ask him, "Lord, what is it that you have planned for me? And Lord, show me every hindering spirit, every hindering person, everything in my life that is a hindrance to me getting to where you would have me to be." These are the things that we need to know. These are the things that we need to care for and be concerned about. I need some stepping stones in my life. When you think about a natural stepping stone, it's a rock. And it's raised up above everything else so that you don't slip and fall in the mud, or you don't fall in a slippery place. Think about it. We need some stepping stones. When we're obeying God and obeying his word, we step on these stepping stones. We stay out of trouble. We stay out of the mud. We stay out of those slick and slippery places. by just walking on the rock. Now, I know that'll preach for some of you preachers that's listening. Standing on the rock. Standing in the firm place that keeps us out of this mud, the muck and the mire. Because, see, remember, we sing this song talking about how God picked us up and turned us around. He placed our feet on solid ground. You don't know like I know what God has done for me. I know that God has picked me up from some muck and mire. He's picked me up from some slippery, muddy places. And I can't say that some of them I didn't step into on my own. But I thank God for being that rock. I thank Jesus for being my rock, my fortress, my strong tower, a place where I can stand to keep me out of trouble. I know some of you can relate. I know some of you have been down in some muddy, slippery, nasty places, but God set you up on a rock. Praise God. That's what the stepping stones do for us. That's what the rock does for us. It keeps us out of the muck and the mire if we just stay right there. Just stay right there. Keep following the path where the stepping stones are. Keep following the path that keeps you out of the muck and keeps you out of the mud and keeps you out of the mire. Stay right there where it is that God will have you to be, obeying God and being aligned with your destiny. That's a pleasant place. That's a good place to be. Who wants to be slipping and sliding all the time in muck and mire? That's no fun. Who wants to be slipping and sliding all the time and coming out muddy every time you involve with somebody, every time you deal with certain folks? That's no fun. Man, every time I hang out with Bob and them, every time I hang out with Susie and them, I get in trouble. Maybe that's a clue. Know what it is that you're supposed to be doing. It's not that important to hang out with Bob and Susie and them. What's important is to go in the direction where God would have you to go. Think about what it is that gets in your way every single time you set out to fulfill God's destiny for your life. What gets in your way? Is it you? Is it fear? You're thinking about money? Guess what? If God called you to it, if it's a destiny plan, God's already got the bill. He's going to take care of the bill. Whatever it is that he's called you to do, if he truly called you to do it, he's going to make sure that you have everything that you need to do it. Because think about it. If you could just do everything on your own, you wouldn't need God. And very often you hear preachers say, God will call you to start a business when you don't even have any money. God will tell some preachers, some pastors to set up a church. And you don't know where the membership is coming from. God will tell you, like Noah, to build a boat and it ain't even raining. Let alone flooding. But if God tells you to do it, he is going to supply every one of your needs. He's going to make sure that you have everything that you need. He's going to put the right people in the right places at the right time if you stay on the path that he has ordained for you. It's very simple. Think about it. Are you your own problem? Ask yourself, what about some of the ships in your life? Now, we all know what I'm talking about. Some of those friendships. Some of your kinships. Some of your relationships. And some of your ownerships. Some of the stuff you don't even want to let go of. That just means that God is not first in your life. Some of the things that you keep holding on to because it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Like your tithes because you think you're hurting somebody else, because you think you're hurting the pastor because you don't pay your tithes. No, you're hurting yourself. Because you want God to bless that other 90%. What is it? What ship is hindering you from doing what God has called you to do? we have to remember, anybody that's hindering you from God's plan for your life, anything that's hindering you, is a stumbling block. Learn to recognize those things. Learn to say, I'm not allowing this person who calls me every weekend to gossip to hinder me. Because I know the Lord just told me that I should be out visiting the nursing home, visiting the prisoners, visiting sick people. I should be in there praying. That's a stumbling block. You call me every weekend to gossip, and I'm going to be crazy and answer the phone and let you do it. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's a stumbling block, because God has already told you that you need to be out visiting the sick. God has already told you that you need to be out delivering food baskets to those that are hungry. Your freezer's overflowing. God told you to give some stuff away. God told you to get rid of some of that stuff in your closet. You ain't doing it because now you done got caught up on the phone gossiping, talking about somebody else's business. And you're no different than them. Your sin just might not be on public notice right now. But we have the nerve to not be doing the things that God has called us to do. Because we're caught up in ourselves. Because we're caught up in flesh. Because that friendship was more important to you than obeying God. Because that relationship was more important to you than obeying God. My brothers and my sisters, nobody is that important. You will not hinder me from the things of God. I have a destiny. I need to be where God has called me to be. You need to be where God has called you to be. You need to be doing the things that God has called you to do. And I know that sometimes we get discouraged. But when you need a friend to talk to, don't call Slick Willie, because you already know what he's going to say. Oh, man, go on and do it. You know, everybody done cheating on their wife from time to time. Don't call Fast Felicia, because she going to tell you, oh, girl, you know, your cleavage need to be out sometime. Oh, girl, ain't nothing wrong with that split in your skirt. Oh, girl, it's all right if you sit on the front row with that short skirt on at church. No, you need to call somebody that's going to give you godly counsel. Because we have to have a standard. When we are on the path to destiny, we should look like where we're going. You don't have to look like where you are. You don't have to look like your situation. You don't have to look like what you're going through. When you are on the path to destiny, you keep that standard up. What do you mean by that, preacher? You teach other people how to treat you. Have you ever thought about that? You know how you do that? By how you carry yourself. You teach other people how to treat you. What do I mean? I'm so glad you asked. Think about it. My sisters, my brother. And I'm going to use some words that you know, I want you all to understand very clearly. If you dress like a hooker, my sisters, most of the time, they're going to treat you like a hooker. Talk to you like a hooker. Use terms when they relate to you like a hooker. And when you walk off, they're going to talk about you like a hooker. No, you can't control other people's behaviors. But what I won't do is just give somebody something to talk about. Man, you see how tight her skirt was at church? Man, you see how short that dress was at church? Ooh-wee. That sister looking like a hooker. And they gonna tell everybody. And God forbid you do some hookerish things. They don't like you for real. You somebody that they talk about. You thinking, oh yeah, you know, all these guys are my friends. No, they looking at you because your cleavage is out. They looking at you because your skirt is short and your legs are out. You the entertainment. You didn't know? You have taught them how to treat you. But I bet you if you pull some things in and lengthen that skirt just a little bit, and I realize, you know, we don't wear dresses down to the ankle anymore. But you know what's appropriate. If you stood in the mirror more than 5 minutes thinking about it, it was probably wrong. So again, remember, even your clothes teaches people how to treat you. But I bet you if you go back around those same people with your cleavage in and a jacket on, you wearing a little blazer, sisters, even if you out in jeans, if you put on a blazer and have your little bag together and have on some cute little shoes, they're going to treat you like the woman behind that blazer rather than the woman with her cleavage out and the split up to there. Think about it. Our conversations teach people how to treat us. If we're talking about the Lord, guess what? They will respond the same way. Ooh, God is good. They'll come back at you. Yes, he sure is. God sure is good. Versus you out there talking about, girl, he make me sick. Man, my wife get on my nerves. They come right back. Mm-hmm, mine too. Think about it. And you know what they remember about you the next time they see you? They're going to tell somebody else. He don't even get along with his wife. Sisters. She going to tell everybody. Girl, she can't stand her husband. They just at church simply holding hands, acting like they happy. Y'all better believe me when I tell you. Your conversations have taught people how to treat you. You call them talking about the wrong things, they begin to treat you that way. That's what they know about you. That's what they remember. Oh, honey, she ain't really talking about the things of God. She ain't really talking about edifying the body of Christ. That's just what she does in front of y'all. Honey, when she over here with us, she talking about what she's going to drink. She talking about where she going. People are paying attention to the things you talk about. And you know what they're going to say the next time they see you? Mm-hmm, what you drinking today? Y'all better hear me. The way that you keep your home teaches people how to treat you. Now, sometimes I know some folks don't have what, you know, old folks call home training. But if they come in your house and leave a cup sitting on your table and you say, hey, Jim Bob, let me take that cup for you. And you take the cup on in the kitchen and wash it. Next time when Jim Bob finishes drinking his Kool-Aid, Sprite, Pop. Now, y'all don't take this somewhere else. He's going to say, hey, here's my glass. Thank you so much. Because you demand certain things in your home. You can't come in my house smoking. You can't come in my house talking a certain way. Doing certain things. You demand what happens in your home. And people will treat you as such. If you keep your house clean, if you keep your car clean, the likelihood is other people will too. Be like, ooh, I dropped something in your car. I'm so sorry. Let me get this up because, girl, your car was clean before I got in here. I'm tripping. You teach them how to treat you. When you go to work on time and you do your job with excellence, they already know. Oh, no. Mm-mm. You can't play with Miss Amina like that because Miss Amina is going to be here. She's going to be on time. She's going to do her job. She may not hang out with everybody. She's going to do what she's supposed to do. And she's going home. That's what they begin to know about you. So guess what? When promotions and opportunities and different things come up, is Miss Amina reliable? Oh, yes, she is. She comes to work on time. She does her job and she goes home. Now, she ain't gonna hang out with you. It will be the very same thing. You teach them how to treat you. If you don't have any shady business practices, people know, well, now, you know, sometimes, you know, he throw a little extra something on that bill that he gives to his clients, you know, because he's trying to make a little extra money. Well, you know, sometimes he goes by the rule and sometimes he does not. Sometimes when I go to IHOP, they charge me for that extra cup of coffee. And depending on the waitress you get, no. No shady business practices. Teach people how to treat you. If you own a business, you maintain that standard. God will bless you in that. If you always give nice portions at your restaurant, keep giving those nice portions because you're teaching people how to treat you. And they'll speak well of you and they'll speak well of your business. When you meet people for the first time, you know, it's no longer, hey, what's your sign? Hey, what's up, girl? Hey, boo, what's going on? No. If your conversation with them is so, what's your 5-year plan? So, what's your 10-year plan? So, what are you looking for? Then you'll get a totally different conversation. And most of the time, if they're smart, they'll be like, no, I can't mess with her. Mm-mm. Because we're not going in the same direction. They may even call you boring. So be it. Call me boring. Call me stuck up. Because you can't come over here with that other kind of conversation. You need to be asking people, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You don't want to deal with somebody that just goes to church on Easter, because that's not the plan of God for your life. There are some people that come into your life for seasons, for reasons, blessings, and some lessons. A lot of people we learn lessons from. And those people that may have tried to be a stumbling block to you before, learn the lesson that you're supposed to learn and move on. Don't keep going back over, putting your hand in the fire, trying to see if it's hot. Learn the lesson you're supposed to learn. Know the difference in who's really with you and who's just talking noise. Avoid some of those stumbling blocks. And then work to turn them into stepping stones. Some people don't know, but if you're not strong enough not to fall into sin or fall into temptation, you get away from them. But if you're one of those people that say, brother, you can't come talking to me like that. I'm a woman of God. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Sometimes they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I'm so used to dealing with these other women out here in these streets. I'm so used to dealing with these other men that I can come to and just say anything. I'm so sorry, sister. Even if they don't really mean it, they'll correct the behavior. How do you turn these stumbling blocks into stepping stones? In everything that you do, seek wisdom from God. Everything that you do, according to James 1 and 5, God will give you wisdom if you just ask for it. And then he'll tell you how to deal with people, how to deal with situations, opportunities, and things that may come up in your life. He'll tell you how to deal with that. He'll tell you whether or not it's for you. He'll tell you whether or not it's in his plan for you. Because remember, he wants what's best for you. He don't want you to fall. He don't want you to fail. He don't want you to get off track. He has a plan for you. And if you ask him for wisdom, he will do just that. Keep God first, according to Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then the things will be added to you. You just seek God. You seek his destiny. You seek his order for your life. Because he's already got it all laid out. All you have to do is get on board. What else is it you're supposed to do? When Jesus was asked about the commandments, he said it's a couple of things you're supposed to do. One, love God with all your mind, all your might, all your heart. And then love your neighbors. Love your brothers and sisters. Because if I love you, I'm not going to rob you. If I love you, I'm not going to lie to you. If I love you, I'm not going to mistreat you. When you're in need, I've got your back. Turn your lessons into blessings. How do you do that? According to James, first chapter, verses 2 and 3, you count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Learn from it. Learn from it. Now, instead of making the same foolish mistake again, I learn to grow and I learn to avoid that pitfall or that hole in the road. I learned to avoid the things that will cause me harm. And thank you, God, for those people that came into my life that taught me I never need to go back over there again. I didn't need to learn it but one time. Thank you, God. What else do you do? Finally, pray for your enemies, according to Matthew 5 and 44. Pray for those people. Pray for the people that try to misuse you. You pray for them. You let God deal with them. You don't wish anything bad upon them, but you know you let God deal with them. Just pray. Now, we've come to the end of our program. I thank you all so much for joining. This has been Eve's Corner, and I am Prophetess Campbell. If you'd like to donate to Campbell Ministries Incorporated, you may do so by clicking on the donate button or by writing in to P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. If you're in the Jackson, Mississippi area, I want to invite you out to the Wordful Gospel Church located at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Again, thank you so much for joining. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer.